happen, we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum.
I'm Ann Northrup. Prepared for any more eclipses?
I'm going to use the dot on the piece of paper. Can you see it?
And we survived the earthquake. What earthquake?
All right. I slept through it.
Yeah. On to the real news. What are you doing sleeping at 1 o'clock in the afternoon?
Because I was up half the night. I was up half the night and I went back to bed.
All right. 10:30 in the morning, maybe. When was it?
Yeah, 10:30.
Yeah.
All right. So in the news this week, as you know, draconian abortion restrictions have shaken up the 2024 elections.
And a very controversial new report in the UK about trans kids and whether to support them, give them medications, whatever. We'll go in the pros and cons of that.
Trump endorsed a pastor for Congress who wants us executed, along with some leading Republicans that he hates.
Never ends. Lots of LGBTQ election victories to report on from Wisconsin, California, Arizona, and Oklahoma.
The coach of the NCAA women's basketball champs came out for trans athletes.
It really was great. Disney's board of directors beat back a campaign by anti-LGBTQ shareholders for seats on their board.
And an anti-LGBT state senator in Florida says he'll sue to get into the Miami Beach Pride. He will lose.
Yes, he will. There have been arrests in the murder of trans Latina Mirachis Medina in L.A., and the slashing of a gay man in New York City.
We mourn this week the passing of a leading gay playwright, lesbian publisher, Stonewall veteran, Vietnamese artist, and the lesbian partner of Kitty Genovese.
Those are all separate people.
Yes.
A political leader in Ghana is speaking out against the pending draconian anti-LGBTQ bill there.
The Pope doubles down against gender fluidity while condemning anti-LGBTQ violence.
He's also in favor of intersex surgery. Going back to the binary, I guess. Willie Nelson has teamed up with out queer Orville Peck in a new release of a new version of a gay cowboy song.
And I'll have reviews of Ripley on Netflix, Mary and George on Stars, and The Who's Tommy on Broadway. But, you know, we should start by noting that we just passed the 50th anniversary of the American Psychiatric Association membership voting to uphold the decision to remove us from the Index of Mental Disorders. 58% voted for that.
Congratulations.
We've
been sane most of our lives.
Yes.
Not all.
Well, I'd already begun my gay life by then, and what I did was still a crime until 1980 in New York.
I didn't start my gay life till 48 years ago, just under the wire. Okay. So I guess we're going to start with
abortion rights
in Arizona. Yeah. You know the most astonishing statistic I heard from that? So the Arizona court upheld the 1864...
territorial law.
You know how many people were living in Arizona at the time?
Five.
6,500. 6,500.
It's insane. Again, you've heard all about it, you know, but this bans abortion from the moment of conception with no exceptions except the life of the mother. Now, Arizona has an out lesbian attorney general,
yes.
Chris Mays. We have a picture of her there at a rally. And she says she won't enforce the law, but anti-abortion activists insist that county prosecutors can enforce it.
Well, that's the Alliance Defending Freedom claiming that they're stone-faced annoying lawyers. But she said explicitly, no woman or doctor will be prosecuted under this law as long as I am attorney general, and it will not be prosecuted by the county attorneys either.
She said that.
She said that. So we'll see if
anyway,
she can
Donald
stand
Trump
up.
Made his ridiculous statement on abortion just prior to this outrage, full of lies. He claimed he opposed a national ban on abortion, but did not say if he wouldn't sign one. But his saying he did not support a national ban got spineless Lindsey Graham to disagree with him. We can only hope that this loses him some votes from the anti-abortion fanatics.
Well, Trump's statement was truly insane and incoherent and uncomfortable and just one of the worst things he's ever said, I think. The other thing is, and I think the juxtaposition of that with this decision coming down the next day, showing what states' rights on abortion would do, is really putting the whole country up in arms against this. All he's doing is helping Biden.
I think Arizona's legislature, dominated by Republicans, will repeal the 1864 law. They'd be insane not to. Even Carrie Lake seems to want them to do that.
But so she says.
Although she used to celebrate the law as
terrific. Great solution. Yes.
But here's the thing. We've talked about Project 2025, which is, planning to end abortion anyway, if the GOP takes power, and maybe even if they don't, because they've already said, we've got to focus on using the 1873 Comstock Law, which forbids transmission through the mails of anything related to abortion, to end abortion nationwide. They're going to do that. They're going to try to do that. And unless the federal government repeals the Comstock Law, and that's going to happen. And by the way, it affects LGBTQ people in another way, because a lot of the Comstock Law has to do with obscene materials going through the war. Now, we have passed Supreme Court decisions that say that's unconstitutional, but we look at the court that we've got now.
Well, it's also important for LGBTQ people, because what just happened in Arizona was Arizona saying, now that Roe v. Wade is overturned and no longer governs us and we have states' rights, we're going back to the law that was in place, which is this 1864 law. We left it on the books. And we know that what's headed down the road for us is if they overturn the marriage decision, the Obergefell decision in the Supreme Court, it's going to be sent back to the states for decisions one by one on marriage. And a lot of the states have left in place their bans on same-sex marriage. So this is an exact parallel to that, and something also for us to be very worried about.
And Arizona will vote on a constitutional amendment to enshrine abortion rights in November. But Republican legislatures in places like Ohio, where they did this, are looking at ways to get around that and stop abortion anyway.
It's a fight to the finish on all these issues, and it's just become really vicious and dangerous between the right and the left on all these issues.
It would help if you elected people who would not do this, but the problem is people will vote for abortion rights and then still put Republicans in office.
Oh, you're motioning to me. Well, I have late-breaking good news from Florida, where, terrible things happen all the time. And they have the Don't Say
Hurricanes.
Gay.
Hurricanes. Earthquakes.
We have earthquakes.
Yeah.
They have the Don't Say Gay law, and part of it is an explicit ban on students being allowed to use preferred pronouns in schools and teachers and other school personnel acknowledging any of that or using any of that. So a Florida court has just decided that a trans woman teacher, in fact, has the right to be open about her gender identity and her pronouns, and says that to stop her, this law is an unconstitutional violation of her First Amendment rights.
And her dignity.
Yeah.
As opposed to the Pope, who says allowing this is an affront to dignity.
Here's what the judge said. Once again, the state of Florida has a First Amendment problem. The question before this court is whether the First Amendment permits the state to dictate without limitation how public school teachers refer to themselves when communicating to students. The answer is a thunderous no. And he goes on to quote Walt Whitman. In sharing her preferred title and pronouns, Ms. Wood celebrates herself and sings herself, not in a disruptive or coercive way, but in a way that subtly vindicates her identity, her dignity, and her humanity.
I'm guessing this is not a Trump-appointed judge.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily guess that.
Because we've won with some of the Trump judges.
Yes, we have, and with Bush judges.
But they don't generally quote Walt Whitman.
No, they don't. I don't see Judge Wood's appointment, but not Judge Wood. Wood is the teacher, Judge Walker. But it's just a magnificent opinion and a great victory.
All right. Well, but in an alarming decision, the National Association of Intercollegiate Athletics, not the NCAA, this one represents 249 small colleges, voted unanimously to ban trans women from women's sports, leaving them the option of playing in men's events. Exceptions for competitive cheerleading, competitive cheer, they call it, and competitive dance. 17 of the 20 votes for exclusion were from Christian schools. The NCAA has less exclusive standards.
Well, what they said was trans boys, bio females at birth, can compete in female sports if they have not started taking masculinizing hormones yet. Everybody can compete in male sports. But yes, this is a ridiculous decision, again, affecting about three people, but that's what they saw fit to do. But meanwhile, the coach of the national champion South Carolina Gamecocks, the women's team, which drew
basketball,
drew 4 million more viewers than the men's final, 18 million to 14 million. Dawn Staley, who is famous, there she is, as a very dedicated religious devotee who uses a lot of religious statements to her team.
If you don't believe in God, something's wrong with you.
Well,
she credits Jesus Christ with the team's success.
And preaches to them all the time.
But
before, just before the championship game, she was asked at a press conference, you know, well, what do you think of the trans athletes
thing? Can I quote her?
Please.
Damn. You got deep on me, didn't you? I'm of the opinion of if you're a woman, you should play. If you consider yourself a woman and you want to play sports, you should be able to play. You want me to go deeper, she said? And she expected flack because this was on the game day.
It was before the game. And then they went out and won the game.
And she said, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
She is fearless.
Yes, exactly.
And she loves the Lord.
Well, that's why she's fearless. anyway, we might quibble with her religiosity.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar did.
In the context of a public university in South Carolina. But we really applaud her guts in standing up for trans athletes.
Well, speaking of bans, it's National Library Week, and the American Library Association released its list of the 10 most challenged titles of 2023, seven of which cover LGBTQ identity and existence, including LGBTQ people of color or just people of color in general.
Hardly even news.
Number one is Genderqueer by Maya, is that how we say her name? Kobabi. Number two is All Boys Aren't Blue by George M. Johnson. And number three is This Book is Gay by Juno Dawson.
Okay.
I hope you're selling a lot of books, kids.
I think so. And back to South Carolina, Dawn Staley State.
Oh.
Donald Trump, as is his wont, endorsed a true psycho. I am not a doctor. I can't diagnose. But wow, this guy.
Out of control.
Pastor Mark Burns, who is running for Congress. Now, I like it when he does this because a lot of them lose. But this guy.
Well, this is a 9-person Republican primary for an open seat.
Yeah.
So with the Trump endorsement, I think he's got the inside
may help
edge.
Him.
I mean, he's lost before.
Yeah.
But now he may win. Burns says he wants to execute Mitch McConnell, Lindsey Graham, and parents and teachers who support LGBTQ youth. Execute them. He compared them to Nazis. He called support for trans youth a national security threat. The list of outrages goes on and on.
He wants to revive the House Un-American Activities Committee. He wants to, yes, prosecute LGBTQ people for treason against the U.S. just by our existence.
He's a black man, and he says Christians give up their secular need to give up their secular friends who are Satan's window into your life.
It's going to make Marjorie Taylor Greene look like a liberal in Congress.
Well, she's an idiot. This guy's crazy, and she's an idiot. But
well,
they're in Congress.
She has power now. But yes, there are nine people in the primary, but it is a totally Republican district like Marjorie Taylor Greene's. So if he does manage to get the nomination, watch out for
it's
him in Congress.
It's a 69% Trump district.
Yeah.
All right. Other election news. Out gay Evan Lowe is in a rare three-way November runoff for the U.S. open U.S. House seat from the Silicon Valley. He exactly tied for second, so there will be three Democrats vying for the seat.
This is the what they call the jungle primary in California. Everybody runs in one primary, no matter their political affiliation, and the top two vote getters then are in the general election. These two tied for second exactly. Neither one of them wants a recount because
right.
they don't want to take the chance
sure.
of coming up short. So it's three of them in the runoff.
Anyway, so Lowe is currently an assembly member and a former chair of the California Legislative LGBTQ Caucus, and he chairs the Asian and Pacific Islander Legislative Caucus. He's a former mayor of Campbell, California.
It's the seat held by Representative Anna Eshoo, who is retiring.
Okay.
And then we have
Jesus Rivera
in Cambridge, Wisconsin.
Teaches college-level communications courses. He won a seat on the Cambridge school board despite a homophobic campaign against him. He says the community sent a message to our LGBTQ students and families that says, you belong.
Well, this is what we keep telling you ad nauseum, that it is important to run for these seats. And so he's won a school board seat. The sky's the limit for his future. But but we now have a voice on the school board there, which is crucially important. We hear every day about people in legislatures or various offices who stand up and speak for us. And they are the only one, but, we'll get to that.
Yes,
in Nebraska.
Oshkosh, Wisconsin, D.J. Nichols will be the only out LGBTQ member of the Common Council there. He's a lawyer for an entertainment company and serves on the Oshkosh Plan Commission and the Winnebago, I think that's the word,
yes.
Area Literacy Council and volunteers with the local domestic abuse services.
And circling back to Arizona, Casey, I'm going to say Clowes, C-L-O-W-E-S. We don't know the correct pronunciation of her name. Out lesbian, who is a climate activist and was elected to the board of directors of the nation's largest public power authority.
She was endorsed by environmental activist Jane Fonda. She's the policy director for Progress Arizona and has worked in voter protection. And in Tulsa, Oklahoma, voters defeated school board candidates who support the wicked anti-LGBTQ school board superintendent Ryan Walters. There's his ugly face. His candidates wanted to have the state school board revoke the accreditation of the racially diverse Tulsa district. Walters says the district suffers from
infiltration by the Chinese Communist Party
and woke ideology. He wants to ban LGBTQ plus books and mandate Bible study. Voters noticed all this and decided they've had enough of him.
Well, I think for a while voters feel a little intimidated by people like this, and then they slowly regain their power and say, you know what, we don't have to stand for this.
Well, the Southern Poverty Law Center has added Ryan Walters' appointee to the state library board, the terrorist Chaya Rachik of Libs of TikTok, who sparks violence and death threats against drag shows, to its extremist file of haters.
And also in Missouri, there was a slate of, I think, 13 anti-LGBTQ candidates running. Missouri can be very conservative. And they were all defeated. So there are pockets of Missouri that are standing up and fighting back.
The log cabin Republicans are trying to prop up Melania Trump. They're having her as their guest or speaker at April 20th. We're not sure if she's being paid. She gets $155,000 a speech.
This is not her first speech to the log cabin Republicans. I was hoping we would skip over that, but I see you're... holding our feet to the fire.
Okay.
All right.
Well, log cabin is, you know, they support Mike Johnson, for God's sakes.
Well, then we should remember that this Friday, the 12th, is the day of no silence, formerly the day of silence, but now we're speaking up. But following
it's
this,
about time.
Well, we're following this trajectory of we're going to gain our voice and speak out and make
we
change.
Better.
We have to.
Speaking of Florida, Disney beat back the attempt of two right-wing shareholders to get on their board. The rebels spent millions to win the seats and were pushing for Disney to be less woke, code for more anti-LGBTQ.
Well, also in Florida, the heinous Representative Fabian Basabe, Republican.
State representative, yeah.
Yeah, is threatening to sue the Miami Beach Pride Parade.
Well, he voted for Don't Say Gay.
He did, and he also voted for the drag show ban. And when he showed up last year in the parade, everyone knew that, and they all attacked him and yelled at him and... And he needed extra security, so the
in parade, riot gear.
So the parade people have said, "We can't, you're too dangerous. We can't have you in the parade."
And you know, based on an decision where we were kept out of St. Patrick's Day parades, we get people get to decide who gets into their parades. So you're out,
even if they're public parades and publicly financed.
Well,
the organizers of the parade get to decide.
Yeah. Well, that could be another issue, but and we tried. Well, I don't want to get into it, but
yeah.
All right. We told you about the moves the federal judiciary is making to curb judge shopping. The policy turns out only to be a guidance, and Democrats want to make it mandatory. Both sides have used it. Mitch McConnell condemned it, saying it would deprive right-wing activists of a potent weapon that we've used to roll back abortion rights and other progressive policies.
Exactly.
So some district courts are ignoring the guidance, especially the infamous North District of Texas. You know, it could become a binding rule, but wow. And then, you know, all right. In the states, Arizona Governor Katie Hobbs vetoed a bill that would have required healthcare entities to provide parents access to minors' medical records, including for services that do not require parental approval. And she's expected to veto some others. But Tennessee is on a roll. My God, these are moving through the legislature. These are past committees. A bill that creates a cause of action against any person who brings a minor who resides in Tennessee to another state to get gender-affirming care. These are all going through. A bill that would terminate the Human Rights Commission with no wind down and just put it in the Attorney General's office.
Why do they think they have the right to regulate someone going to another state? It doesn't even make sense to me.
Let's see what the Supreme Court says about that.
And the reports are that families with trans kids are fleeing these states, the anti-LGBTQ states, and going to welcoming states where the doctors are now overwhelmed because there is such demand. They are begging for resources. In Minnesota, there is a 12 to 18 month waiting list for people to get treatment, and they are trying to train more doctors. But it is just a system out of control because of the bad states banning this care.
But some of these bills can be stopped.
Of course.
In Nebraska, out state Senator John Fredrickson, the first out gay man elected to the legislature, made an impassioned speech opposing a bill targeting trans youth, and it worked. The bill died in committee. Here's what he had to say. 2 minutes.
The world can be tough and scary. I personally know a thing or two about having a family that many people might say is not normal. I I stand here today confidently to tell you, if you love your kid unconditionally for who they are, and if they know they're loved, you can weather a lot. So this weekend, when you go home, I want you to love your babies. Surround yourself with the people who love you. Let them know you love them. And don't spend a minute of your energy or time thinking about any of my colleagues in here who are too scared of difference to allow themselves to understand and celebrate the beauty and joy that you bring to our state. Thank you, Mr. President.
So he is a gay dad. He has a family with
husband and kids. Yep.
Yeah. I don't know how many kids, but he does have a husband and at least one kid. And so this made a big impact. And two of the representatives who were going to vote for this anti-trans bill changed their minds, and they abstained, and
that
the bill
meant
failed.
That the Republicans couldn't overcome a filibuster on the issue, because mm-hmm. it's not like we got a majority vote on this.
No, no, but they lost a couple of votes, and that was enough to kill the bill. Okay. So thank you, John Fredrickson. Thank you to all the extremely brave LGBTQ people who do put themselves out there, who run for office, who get up and make these statements and change hearts and minds. You're crucially important to the welfare of all of us.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. We told you about the murder of trans Latina Maraches Medina, 24 years old, on March 19th in Los Angeles. Her body found 2 days later with a gunshot wound. Police have now arrested Brian Blackmon, 29, as a suspect. She was killed in the Figueroa Corridor, a popular destination for sex workers and clients, where another unnamed sex worker was killed on March 21st. The police have not provided the basis for the claim that Medina was engaging herself in sex work.
She was a very well-known makeup artist, and she was very active on social media, daily posting. In fact, one of the ways they realized she was dead or missing was that her posts were not there on Instagram anymore, and so they went looking for her and found
Horrible.
Her.
Yeah, pattern there.
And in New York, a guy named Milton Hamlin, 46 years old, has been indicted for attacking a gay man on a subway, slashing him with a knife or a similar object. They'd been on the train. The gay guy was with a friend or boyfriend. They were discussing a drag show.
It was actually his husband.
Yeah, his husband. They'd been to a drag show. They were chatting about it on the train. And this guy was sitting next to them and overheard this conversation and became enraged and started this fight and attacked and injured.
Slashed his neck and hand. Yeah. He survived. D.A. Alvin Bragg charged Hamlin with multiple felonies, including assault as a hate crime. We do not tolerate, he said, attacks rooted in discrimination.
Well, this attacker, Milton Hamlin, ironically, or maybe predictably, in 2011, was convicted of luring a 16-year-old boy for sex and has been on the sex offender registry. Now, we can debate what the use of the sex offender registry, but this guy is clearly disturbed. And
there's a lot of it out there.
Just if you're, look, I ride the subway all the time.
We do too. I do too.
But I keep my eyes open.
Yes. And believe me, I know that, you know, crime in New York is amplified all the time, but our rates are much lower than the red states.
But I have to tell my friends that. I have friends who say, oh, I don't get on the subway. So I say, what's wrong with you?
Well, I will say, people are not standing on the edge of the platform too much anymore.
Me either.
Because we don't want to get thrown off.
No, not at all.
All right.
All right. So now let's talk about some people we lost.
I was very sad
heroes.
To read about the loss of the great and prolific gay playwright Christopher Durang, who has died at the age of 75. He was diagnosed with a rare form of dementia, progressive aphasia, in 2016. He gave us immense pleasure, laughs, and insight. He's mostly known for off-Broadway work, but he did win the Tony for Best Play for Vanya and Sonia and Masha and Spike, which was a hilarious riff on Chekhov, starring his Yale classmate Sigourney Weaver and David Hyde Pierce and Christine Nielsen in 2013.
I love that.
And he was drama school classmates with Meryl Streep and playwright Wendy Wasserstein, who he was very close with. In 79, his breakout hit was Sister Mary Ignatius Explains It All for You, won him his first OMI Award. Others were Beyond Therapy, Laughing Wild, The Marriage of Bette and Boo, where he starred as the Infant of Prague. I wish I had a picture of that. And he was a finalist for the Pulitzer for Miss Witherspoon. Just so very funny and lots of serious intent. He survived by his husband, writer and performer John Augustine.
Yeah, big loss. And then dying in California, Ella Mathis at 81, who was the publisher for many years. She had a heart attack of the Lesbian News publication, which is a seminal publication for the lesbian community. And it went through various iterations and various publishers, but she was one of the main ones. The Lesbian News was originally just a little newsprint thing that got circulated around the country. And it had a little bit of everything, local news I can't even go through the whole thing. I read it for many years. And she said the point of it was to inform, entertain, and be of service. It really was like an underground magazine.
Survived by her partner of 26 years, later her spouse, Glady Adams.
Glady Adams. I don't know her personally.
Okay.
And then Marian Zelenko, 85 years old. She was the partner of Kitty Genovese, who in 1964 was murdered in the doorway of her apartment building. And the New York Times decided to turn this into a story about New Yorkers don't care. 38 people ignored it.
Put the picture of Kitty Genovese, because she died quite young, was murdered. Marianne, they were working at they met at a lesbian bar in Greenwich Village, and they were working at different bars when Kitty was killed. Marianne later worked for years at General Dynamics, Electric Boat in Groton, Connecticut, a designer and builder of submarines. The murder of Kitty Genovese was misrepresented as nobody cares, but Marianne said it kind of inspired her to, like, anytime she saw someone in trouble, to try to help.
Exactly.
But the killer, I'm reading about him, this guy, Winston Mosley, 29. He admitted to murders of two other women and died in prison at 81. He had been married with kids, but he liked killing women because they were easier and they didn't fight back. Awful. Just chilling.
Marianne eventually moved to Vermont. She is survived by her domestic partner, Rebecca Jones. It was a terrible story, and what's his name at the time?
So Abe Rosenthal wrote a book about it, made a name for himself, and misrepresented what happened.
Total lie, really horrible.
Because people did call the cops, and some people just thought, some people are having a fight.
People didn't deliberately ignore the fact that there was a murder taking place.
Right.
They just didn't know or reacted if they did.
Right.
All right. And we also lost a hero of the AIDS epidemic, Yvonne Ritter, trans woman, 72, was at the Stonewall riots.
She was 18 years old. It was a birthday.
and she, during the AIDS epidemic, she was a nurse at St. Vincent's Hospital. very popular, and is now...
Police grabbed her during the rebellion, and she talked her way out of it. My father and mother would kill me if I get caught wearing this outfit, she said. She became a second mother to lots of trans kids.
Yeah. All right. Oh, and there, I'm sorry, I missed one national story. The U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services has announced that they're adding the X gender option for immigrants applying for naturalization.
All right.
So that's nice.
International news?
Sure.
Well, good news from Ghana, if you can believe it. Influential people there are finally speaking out against the draconian anti-LGBTQ bill that passed on February 28th and awaits President Addo's signature or veto. The bill increases criminal penalties for consensual same-sex relations and criminalizes individuals and organizations who advocate for the rights of LGBTQ people and the failure to report anyone who engages in these activities. So, Samia Nkrumah, you may know that name, a former member of parliament and chair of a major political party in Ghana, called it brutal, harsh, and unjust. Her father, Kwame Nkrumah, led Ghana's independence movement and was its first prime minister and president in the 50s and 60s.
Yep.
So Addo, the president, has said he will not allow Ghana to backslide on human rights. We shall see. She's president of the Kwame Nkrumah Pan-African Center, promoting his vision of a united Africa. But Parliament is moving to force the president, I don't know how they do this, to force the president
to sign
the bill.
I'm just making that up.
Can you pass a law that says the president has to sign a bill?
I don't know.
All right.
Let's talk about the Pope.
Okay. Well, yet another declaration that any sex change intervention is an affront to the unique dignity of a person. This is from a big document they've been working on for a long time called
5 years.
Infinite Dignity, which mentions other affronts, poverty, the death penalty, war, assisted dying, abortion, sexual abuse, and the abuse of women.
IVF.
But yes, but the rigid anti-trans stance got all the attention.
Yes.
And it's been condemned by the LGBTQ Catholic groups.
Now, it also approves of intersex surgery to fix people who are intersex. I don't think that's a progressive position.
Absolutely. Are you kidding? Of course not. And, you know, the text does speak out, as they always do. Oh, we're not for violence against LGBTQ people. Oh, well, that's terrible.
Yeah, don't
but
be
you're
mean
the ones
to them.
You're the ones making people feel violently towards us by distorting who we are. So in an interview last week, Francis's friend, what's his name? Cardinal Victor Manuel Fernandez, who's the new prefect for the Doctrine of the Faith, he acknowledged that terming us intrinsically disordered, well, that's kind of strong, he said. they ought to look at a better way to say that sex should only be between a husband and wife to create new life, which accounts for about 0.1% of sexual activity in the world. He didn't say that. I'm saying that.
But then there's a strange thing where Pope Francis, in an interview, is talking about what a great friend retired Pope Benedict was.
What a great progressive he was.
Yeah. Now, Benedict is the one who...
He backed me up on civil unions for gays when people came after me.
Benedict's the one who invented the intrinsically disordered label. And he, of course, had a very, 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 very close relationship with his secretary, George Ganswein.
Georg Ganswein, the archbishop. But Francis says Georg did some very difficult things to me, trying to get Benedict to undermine me, his successor.
Francis, so I banished him.
Well, he did. He sent him back to Freiburg, Germany.
Yeah.
But it's just unbelievable.
Well, but while the Pope was approving of intersex surgery, the United Nations came out with a very good resolution proposed by Finland, South Africa, Chile, and Australia. First UN resolution on intersex issues. It encourages countries to promote physical and mental health for people who are intersex. Persons with innate variations in sex characteristics. and says we need a report on discriminatory laws and practices and policies and violence and best practices, including legal protections and remedies. This report is expected to raise awareness and provoke action. And it condemns forced surgeries, infanticide, denial of legal recognition at birth, discrimination in accessing health care, discrimination in education and sports participation.
Well, 1.7%, not a negligible number, of infants are born intersex, and yep. many are forced to undergo irreversible surgeries, compliments of the Vatican, I guess, at this point, to correct their anatomy, and they're subject to stigma and discrimination.
The report points out that intersex can be defined as people having differences of genitals, reproductive organs, hormones, and chromosomes.
And the document says they want to stop targeting trans and intersex women under the guise of protecting women's sports, which
Nonsense.
Is the big thing these days.
The Security Council also at the UN also received a briefing this week by a Colombian lesbian leader on the treatment of LGBTQ people in conflict zones. And that's the first time they've been addressed in such a fashion.
Okay. Somebody else we lost this week was out gay Vietnamese multimedia artist Dinh Quy Le. He died at the age of 56 of a stroke. His work challenged global perceptions as well as internal censorship and exploitation in southern Vietnam. He fled Vietnam as a child in the wake of the war, raised in Los Angeles, graduated from University of California, Santa Barbara, and New York School of Visual Arts. But
look, his work is so beautiful. Look
yes,
at that.
That work is called Cambodia Reemkerr No. 19 from 2022.
It's all weavings. It's a collage of weavings of different materials.
Well, glossy tapestries that recall Vietnamese grass mat weaving. And he has a quote here, if you know a history, you own it. An individual with no knowledge of his or her history is an individual without an identity, he said. But he ended up moving back to Vietnam in 1996 and regained his citizenship there.
All right. Moving on to...
And I'm going to link to an interview with him in our email.
Yeah.
You can sign up for our email by going to gayusatv.org.
Beautiful artist, dead too soon at 56. All right. Now, the big news out of the UK this week and for the last few weeks is this thing called the CAS review done by a pediatrician, I guess, Dr. Cass, Hillary Cass, maybe.
I don't have the name down. But
Helen Cass, yeah. Something like that. A report commissioned by the National Health Service that's been in the works for a long time. And it looks at the question of trans youth and what to do when someone presents as wanting gender-affirming surgery or hormones or whatever. Very controversial here, there. We've been through a litany of states that have banned it here. Well, the headline out of the CAS report is, you know, the UK is going to stop providing hormones to trans youth. Well, yes and no.
Unless you're in a study.
Unless you're
clinical
in a study.
Trial.
But they're not banning it. Private physicians can do it. You can apply for these studies. What they're trying to do is be more thoughtful about it, to make sure that people get holistic care, that they're not just and this is a debate we could have. We want people to be able to make their own decisions about abortion, for instance, and we've had that whole conversation. And for many years, we've said that trans youth and their families should be able to make their own decisions.
Yeah.
What the study is saying is we don't have full information on what is appropriate, what yeah. is effective,
yeah.
and therefore we should...
And they're worried about long-term harms. So let me say something to you at the NHS, because I go to London and I watch the news there. You know what the harm is for not providing dentistry for people anymore over there. People are gluing pieces of plastic into their mouths because they can't see a dentist at the NHS. This is an enormous health problem in England, and they don't do anything about it mm-hmm. to fund it properly. Do they really care about health? I will say they're very free with their PrEP pills over there.
They have 5,800 kids on a waiting list for treatment in the UK. 5,800. So I just more question care, that. More investigation, sure. But 5,800 waiting?
Yeah, exactly. Waiting list for everything. And that's all from the Tory government, which seems to be on the way out. The Tory government, which is trying to save themselves by being anti-trans.
Oh, boy. Well, you know, 'twas ever thus. They picked that up here. So anyway, the FDA here, the Food and Drug Administration, is studying lifting the ban on sperm donation by men who have sex with men. It's a very important issue for gay men who want to have families, want to use IVF, all of that. But there are certainly ways to be safe with sperm donation, and they should hustle that along.
But there is a new STI out there, STI, sexually transmitted infection, a fungus that is causing hypersexuality and homosexuality. It doesn't seem to be affecting humans, but it is affecting trillions of cicadas. The fungus, Massospora, takes over the bodies of the bugs and makes their genitals fall off, but they continue to participate in normal activities like trying to mate. The fungus has males flicking their wings like females to attract males and in turn infecting them, so it spreads like an STI. Now, we people are urged not to eat the cicadas or kill them, but if you see the fungus on them, take a photo and share it with the online science community.
Look,
as you tried to do with a bird.
Yeah, I've had a dead bird this week. I'm trying to get it examined for bird flu. I think it is a complete mistake to call this a cause of homosexuality. It becomes pansexual. They have sex with everybody, or every cicada, male, female, non-binary cicadas, whatever. It's the fungus. What did I see? I've lost the thread on this, but they do lose their genitals and they do try to have sex everywhere. Watch out for the infected cicadas.
All right.
Watch out for the trillions of cicadas everywhere.
Okay. Entertainment news?
Yes.
What's Willie Nelson up to?
Well, there's this song that he did years ago.
It's not originally his song. It's called Cowboys Are Secretly Fond of Each Other.
No. Cowboys are frequently secretly fond of each other.
Okay, sorry.
It was written and sung by Sublette in 1981. Willie Nelson did a cover of it in 2006, and now he has teamed up with the out-gay singer Orville Peck for a new version that is sweeping the charts.
The song is about the presence of queerness everywhere, especially in small towns in the American West.
Let's get the title right once again. Cowboys are frequently, secretly fond of each other.
And Willie, who is terrific, you know, he's 90 years old now.
Yeah.
He said it was very, very important to release it in the face of the anti-LGBTQ backlash in the United States.
Are you watching Gerard Carmichael's reality show?
I have not yet. How are you liking it?
It's quite provocative. I loved his special Rothaniel a couple of years ago, and now he's doing this series for HBO that's examining his life and his sex life and his relationships with family and lovers and whatever.
I hear it's uncomfortable to watch.
It is, but rewarding. He was on The View this week talking about it. That was a little surrealism in everyday life. It is more provocative and rich than a lot of predictable stuff on TV.
Well, I've been watching Ripley on Netflix. It's a black and white, even more noirish take on the lesbian novelist Patricia Highsmith's The Talented Mr. Ripley. You may recall Matt Damon in the role. Now it's Andrew Scott. There he is.
The hot priest.
An out gay actor. He plays Ripley. He's too old for the role. And although he's a great actor. And the Freddie Miles role, which was played by Philip Seymour Hoffman in the movie, is played by a non-binary actor, Elliot Sumner, the suspicious Freddie Miles.
Who is the child of Sting and
Trudy Styler. Trudy Styler, yeah. And is a singer-songwriter in their own right. Scott plays the creepy Tom Ripley to the hilt, and he, you know, he inserts himself into the lives of Dickie, Johnny Flynn, who's 41. I mean, these are supposed to be like college, you know, post-college people, and Marge Sherwood, Dakota Fanning. They're a trust fund couple. They're all, you know, so, but they're good actors. It's kind of macabre fun, but some people hate it and some people love it. Marion George on Stars, starring Julianne Moore as a stage mother, pushing her beautiful second son, Nicholas Galitzine, on the gay King James I. It's a costume drama, fun, very gay. Moore is having a ball playing the conniving mother, seeking power however she can at a time when women had very little, Elizabeth I notwithstanding.
I turned it off after 5 minutes. I could not get into it.
You wanted to walk out of Oh Mary after 5 minutes, and you stayed.
And that was a costume production too. But you know,
it's kind of audacious in its rawness
And I should give it another chance.
And they use a lot of bad language.
Well, instead, I watched Scoop.
Oh, yeah.
The Gillian Anderson TV movie. It's just an hour and 45 minutes. You can see it in one take. You don't have to watch the whole series. And it's about... On Netflix, the BBC interview with Prince Andrew that really took him down about his friendship with Jeffrey Epstein and his affairs with young girls, or teenage girls, at Epstein's behest. And, I mean, the Gillian Anderson, she's the interviewer for the BBC. It doesn't really focus on her all the time. It's Billy Piper playing the producer who gets the interview, who's more the star. I found it watchable. Yeah. Not the greatest thing I ever saw, but
Rufus Sewell is sort of unrecognizable as Andrew. Yeah. I mean, they kind of chub him up.
Yeah.
You know, it used to be Randy Andy.
Well, the hilarious thing is that at the end, and I don't think I'm having any spoilers here, but he ends up saying, "Oh, I think we did very well with that interview." It totally took him down. And then in the papers this week, or some news report I read, he's saying, "Oh, I thought Scoop was very well done. That's good." Clueless.
They're not going to let you back, Andrew. All right. I saw the revival of The Who's Tommy on Broadway, my first experience with the rock opera, and it was a pleasure. It's a contender for the best revival of a musical, I'd say.
You don't usually like music.
I don't like what Broadway has become, but this is an old rock opera. And, of course, the other revival that's likely to win is Stephen Sondheim's Merrily We Roll Along, starring Jonathan Groff and Daniel Radcliffe and Lindsay Mendez. The music from Pete Townshend will be familiar to almost anybody, Pinball Wizard and all. Lively staging, fine ensemble. You know, it's a tale of overcoming childhood trauma and becoming free. And that's a story that will resonate with us. It's directed by Des McAuniffe.
Okay. Now we have a couple of weddings to celebrate. First of all, in New Orleans, former Major League Baseball pitcher T.J. House married his partner of some years, Ryan Neitzel. There they are as part of a big, I guess, a second line kind of parade down the street.
In New Orleans?
Yes. And T.J. Was a well-known and successful pitcher.
He played for the Cleveland Guardians and Toronto Blue Jays from 2014 to 17. He came out in 2022. When he announced his engagement, he said the Federal Respect for Marriage Act gave him the confidence to get engaged.
I didn't think anyone noticed the Respect for Marriage Act.
He's only the third player to come out after Glenn Burke of the Dodgers 100 years ago and Billy Bean of the Tigers, Dodgers, and Padres. They came out after Bean came out after being an active player. Burke was more known as gay when he was there.
He was, and he was thrown out of the Dodgers by Tommy Lasorda, who hated his gay son, and sent to Oakland, and where he invented the high five.
Now, Bean does...
And ended up dying of AIDS.
Bean does diversity work for the Major League Baseball. Is that going to still be allowed?
Depends on the state you're in,
Is Stephen Miller going to sue them?
Probably.
And that... And then TV journalist Don Lemon married his longtime partner of 5 years, I think, real estate agent Tim Malone in New York City, with several of his ex-CNN colleagues on hand, Dana Bash, Kate Baldwin, Aaron Burnett at the Fifth Avenue Presbyterian Church, with a reception at Ralph Lauren's Polo Bar. He's got money.
They did a second line dance down Fifth Avenue on the way to the reception, too, with everybody waving white handkerchiefs.
But the headline,
yes,
officiating at the ceremony, was U.N. Ambassador, our U.S. ambassador to the U.N., Linda Thomas-Greenfield, taking a break from World War III.
Well, the other headline is that the other attendees, Matt Lauer, came with his girlfriend. Is he allowed out in public?
I guess so.
And most of the women from The View came. Joy Behar, Sonny Hostin, Sarah Haynes.
No
Anna
Charlie
Navarro.
Rose?
Look, Joy was at Trump's wedding to Marla Maples.
So were the Clintons.
I know. So I guess she's hitting all these. And, of course, there was a housewife present, Countess Luann de Lesseps.
Well, in keeping, I guess we have time, right?
Yes.
In keeping with our following what's going on game shows, Amy Schneider was on Jeopardy this week, told a story about a legendary LGBTQ piano bar. And
Marie's Crisis.
Well, yeah.
Amy Schneider is back with us, a writer from Oakland. You told us you were on the jury of a queer film festival in New York. Tell us what happened to you while you were trying to get into an event there.
Yeah. So, like, that was obviously a big honor for that, and it led to another huge honor, which is, so in Greenwich Village, there's a place, Marie's Crisis, where there's a piano, and everybody sings along with Broadway tunes, and, like, Broadway performers will show up there, and it is just a theater kid's heaven. And so I went there, the line was down the block, and I'm standing out there, I was on the trip by myself, just like, somebody walks past and goes, Amy? You shouldn't be waiting in line, and just takes me right through the, and it was just,
wow. I'm going to the wrong clubs. I've never had that. Congratulations. That's great.
Yeah.
See, those transgenders, they want special privileges. Now, we love Amy. She's the first woman to win $1 million on the show. She didn't win this week. She was second, but she's won $1 million and the highest earning woman ever.
Thought of Ken Jennings at Marie's Crisis is sort of delicious.
You know, Ken seems kind of cool about the LGBTQ issues for a Mormon.
Yeah. She was on for several days. We have
a few seconds.
A little bit. Yeah, we have till 58.
57, 15.
Yes, we have 45 seconds. And I'm going to close by saying that Amy, on another night, was asked, all the contestants were asked, who do you want to thank? And she said, I want to thank Marsha P. Johnson and all the people who came before me who did so much and on whose shoulders I stand. It was a very moving little tribute.
Yeah.
Lovely.
We love Amy.
Yeah.
She played a good game. But
so she came in second in
this
iteration.
Woman in the middle.
She was amazing.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Some people.
All right. Well, this show, of course, is amazing, and we'll be back with it next week. Thank you for watching. Signing off. Hoping no more earthquakes. Goodbye.